And a good evening to you. Let's look tonight to the book of Romans, the first chapter. Romans chapter 1, let's begin reading in verse 7 here through verse 16, if we may. Paul is writing, of course, to the Christians in the church at Rome, and he says to all that be at Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now, at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let or hindered hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You know, in reading this, you get the idea that Paul felt that he owed the world something. He owed them the gospel of Jesus Christ. He felt indebted to mankind to share the Word of God with them. And that should be the burden on every Christian heart. We would have that same feeling of indebtedness. But I want to speak tonight about the debt that we owe to the Jews. We live in a world today that is filled with hatred. And I don't know, I can see it more now than I believe that I ever have in my life. I don't know if it's becoming, because it's becoming more prominent, more prevalent, or if perhaps with age I'm just getting a little bit wiser and have a little more discerning spirit about me. But I see things that are happening in this world today that I don't like. There's so much enmity and there's so much hatred. We, for the past 9 years now, have been at war, they say, with the Muslim faith. Actually, it's what it's all about. It's not a people, it's a faith. It's a terrorism, we call it. Because there are people out to get us. They hate us, not even knowing who we are or what we're doing. That senseless killing of those 10 people over there, it just makes me sick in the stomach to see something like that. Whenever you have people there that are helping people. But that's what Jesus did, wasn't it? I mean, they hated him without a cause. Jesus went around doing good, healing the sick, causing the blind to see, all sorts of good things he was doing, and the people hated him for it. There's so much hatred in the world today, and we have racial hatred. A lot of them think it's because Obama is president. I don't know that that has anything to do with it. I really don't. I think it's just the spirit of the times. Listen, you and I cannot help who we are. And why should I hate someone just because their skin is a different color, or because they speak a different language, or because they come from a different nation? Why? Why the hatred in the world today? I don't understand it, except I do know that it is Satan-led. Now, there is a lot of Satan-led anti-Semitism that's going on in the world today, and we're talking now, when we talk about that, we're talking about the Jews. Of course, that's nothing new. That's been going on for generations and generations. Ever since God chose Abraham, there has been a hatred toward his people, toward the Jews. They have been a hated race. People hate them. They don't even know who they are, but just because they are a Jew, you're supposed to hate them. And you don't even know who they are. They haven't done anything to you. Why all of this hatred in the world today against people? It's led of Satan, of course. We realize that. Besides that, listen, we can't help who we are. God didn't ask me before I was born if I wanted to be male or female, or if I wanted to be born in Texas or in Japan or China or Brazil or some other place. God didn't ask me that. He made me, and he wants me to be what I am. Otherwise, he wouldn't have made me what I am. I think about the Jewish race of people. For generations, they've been hated. The Old Testament is full of it there. Going back to AD 70, when the Romans came and destroyed Jerusalem, they killed so many of the Jewish people. They took many of them captives, scattered them throughout the world, destroyed their homeland. And everywhere that they went, they were hated and despised, and they couldn't find a place to live. They couldn't find a dwelling place that would accept them. A lot of them went to England, and after a while, the English got tired of them, and they expelled every one of them in 1242. And those that were scattered, they had to find refuge in other nations. Some of them went to France. France expelled them, all the Jews, in 1305. Some of them went to Germany. Germany expelled them in 1349. Some of them went to Spain. Spain expelled them in 1492. Some of them went to Italy. Italy expelled them in 1494. Some of them went to Portugal. They expelled them in 1495. And look what happened to them during World War II. Let's bring it up to modern times. Look what happened to them over in Germany. 6 million of them there were killed, slaughtered in Germany by Adolf Hitler and his group, the Jews. Finally, in 1948, they got their own land back, but they're having to fight to hold it. The Arabs were trying to drive them out. They want it. They claim that land for their own. But the United States of America has always been a friend to the Jews. Nationally, there are groups of anti-Semites in this country. But after America was discovered and colonized, many Jews that had been dispersed throughout the nations found refuge here on our shores. And they have made great contributions to our society and have contributed an awful lot to the greatness of our nation. John Adams, the second president of the United States, once said this about the Jews. He said, "The Jews have done more to civilize men than any other nation. They have given religion to 3/4 of the globe and have influenced the affairs of mankind more than any other nation, ancient or modern." That's the President of the United States making a statement like that. Now, I think there's a reason for that. God has blessed America because of our attitude toward the Jews and toward Israel. You can never persuade me otherwise, because God told Abraham a long time ago, it's recorded in the 3rd verse of Genesis chapter 12, God said to Abraham, he said, "I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And our nation has been blessed in the over 200 years of its history because of our attitude toward Israel. I'm kind of worried about it now, because there's a lot of anti-Jewish feelings going on in this country politically. And if we turn our back on Israel, America is really going down the tubes. Now, there's no denying it. They are truly God's chosen people, whether they know it or not, or whether they act like it or not. They're still God's chosen people. When Israel went from 70 A.D., the Jews I'm talking about, from 70 A.D. to 1948, a people without a country, without a nation, a lot of people got the idea that they'd been forsaken by God and cast away. But Paul said this. He said, "Hath God cast away his people? God forbid. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew." Now, they are ignorant of God. They are spiritually blinded. They have stumbled and fallen, and they have been broken off. But there is a remnant of Jews that remain according to the election of grace.
Amen.
Even in the book of Revelation, we're told about 144,000 of them that will be sealed by the Lord. I want you to stop and think about how much we owe the Jews. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was a Jew. His ancestors and his parents were all Jews. His countrymen were Jews. His disciples were Jews. His 12 apostles were Jews. And during his ministry, he preached and taught in Jewish synagogues and in their temple. And he used the Jewish Bible. He told Simon Peter one time, "On this rock I will build my church." And the church that Jesus built was a Jewish congregation composed of Jews. He gave a great commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that commission was given to Jews. And the Bible says it was Jews that were scattered abroad who went everywhere preaching the word. The Old Testament of our Bible was written in the Jewish language by Jews. And the New Testament was written by Jews. In Acts chapter 21, verse 20, someone said to Paul one time, "Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe." Multitudes of them. And then, in obedience to the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. We're branching out now. Had a lot of people saved. Peter and John went down there, and they testified and preached the word of the Lord in Samaria. And then they went throughout the villages of the Samaritans and preached the gospel to the Samaritans, because Jesus had told them, you start in Judea, then Samaria, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. And that's what they're doing. They were in Samaria. Then in the book of Acts, you read about Simon Peter on the rooftop praying, and he had a vision up there, and Peter, in response to that vision, went down to the house of Cornelius at Caesarea and preached the gospel to them. Now, Cornelius was a Roman centurion. Cornelius was a Gentile, and when Peter preached to them, the door of faith was opened to the Gentiles. And many Gentiles believed and were saved and baptized. And they received the Holy Ghost, the same as the Jewish believers had back in Acts chapter 2. And the Jews said, this was their conclusion, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. It was to the Jew first, and then also to the Gentiles. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, when Jesus was commissioning the 12 apostles, he said, go not to the Gentiles. Don't go to them. Don't go to the Samaritans. You take the gospel to the Jews. You take the message of the kingdom to the Jews. Now then, the Gentiles have been granted repentance unto life. In Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus, on his way to Damascus, and the Lord appeared to him and commissioned him. When he was converted, Jesus told him, he said, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Paul became the apostle to the Gentiles. And on his missionary journeys, when he went out with Barnabas and later with two journeys with Silas, he preached the gospel throughout the Roman Empire. And many Gentiles were saved and churches were established. Today, when you stop and think about it, I suppose Christianity is regarded by most of the world as a Gentile religion, isn't it? Of course, that's not so, but it's true that a vast majority of Christians today are Gentiles. Just as a majority of Hindus are Indian, and a majority of Muslims are Arabs. And the religion of Judaism is still prevalent among the Jewish people, particularly those who have returned to Israel. But a great number of Jews today are Christians. We don't know how many, but many of them are. Now, their Jewish friends and parents and relatives do not like it. They're not happy when a Jew becomes a Christian, a believer in Jesus, the Messiah. People don't like to see their friends and relatives turn from one religion to another. Saw in the paper, what was it? Julia Roberts. Yeah. You know, how many of you know Julia Roberts? Yeah. Did you see that she is now a Hindu? She had been a Baptist, and she was a Catholic, and now she's a Hindu. And when people jump from one religion to another like that, you wonder if anything's ever really happened out here in their heart, don't you? Makes you wonder. But anyway, people change faiths, and they don't like it. That's the reason why our missionaries have such a hard time going into countries and working among Muslim people, because they do not like for their people to turn from the Muslim religion to Christianity or any other religion. And the Jews are just about as bad. But we're living in what Jesus called the times of the Gentiles. In Luke chapter 21, verse 24, the times of the Gentiles. I think that we have lived in the generation that's seeing a change, because some of us were around in May of 1948 when Israel became a nation again, and the Jews now have a homeland. They say there are approximately 13 million Jews in the world today. That's an estimate. Don't know how accurate it is. But about 6 million of those are now in Israel. Now, 6 million sounds like a lot of people, but when you stop and think about the multitudes of Arabs that are all around them, they are outnumbered 100 to 1, aren't they? 6 million is not too many. But anyway, they are in their own land. They returned there, but they've returned to their land in unbelief. Unbelief. They have not been converted. They really haven't turned back to God as a nation. And they have not yet accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. The religious people in Israel still cling to the old-fashioned form of worship, the traditions received from their fathers, Judaism. We who know the Lord should join Paul in his prayer in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1 when he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." We need to pray for them. We need to have the same burden that Paul had for them, that Israel would be saved. Now, they have not been abandoned by God. Blindness in part has happened to them until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. There's coming a time when the fullness of the Gentiles is going to be come in. Blindness in part. And then, the Bible says, all Israel shall be saved. That is God's covenant with those people. All Israel shall be saved. Now, what does the future hold for them? If you were a Jew living in Israel today, and you did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but you did believe in the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you are living there under the danger of missile attacks and all sorts of dangerous weapons, how would you feel? What does the future hold for them? Very much, I'll tell you. But before their Messiah returns, and they're looking for Messiah to come, before he returns, they're going to have to go through a period that is called the time of Jacob's trouble. That statement comes from the book of Jeremiah. Let me read you chapter 30 and verse 7. As it appears in the Bible. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. That's the promise of God. They're going to, and this time of Jacob's trouble is talking about is that 7-year tribulation period that's going to come upon the earth. And it will start out, we've got this in our Bible, it will start out with a time of peace. It will be a short time of peace. And during that time, the Jews will be allowed to rebuild their temple there in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. I don't know how it's going to come about. I know this, I've heard this so many times, it's become truth, that they have everything that they need to put that temple together. All they need is just time to get out there and clear the ground. And it's already prefabbed, so to speak. Now they can get together and throw that thing together practically overnight. They can have their temple rebuilt there in Jerusalem. Now, we also know this. According to the book of Revelation, God's going to send 2 witnesses to the earth. And there's going to be 144,000 Jews that will be saved and sealed. That's the remnant that God's going to have. And then all hell is going to break loose. There's going to be a plague that's going to come up on this earth that will result in half of the earth's population being wiped out. Now, I read just this past week where the estimated population of the world today has already reached 7 billion people. Now, if that plague strikes and half of the population of the earth die, how many is that? That's right. That's a lot of funerals. That's a lot of graves to dig. That's a lot of deaths. 3.5 billion people. That's right. Now the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to be around, and they're going to begin a persecution of the Jews so severely that God will have to personally intervene on their behalf. Otherwise, they would all be wiped out. And then the Bible tells us that seven more great disastrous plagues will devastate the earth, particularly in Israel. And listen, we said there were 6 million Jews over there today in Israel. The Bible says that 2/3 of the Jews will die, and only 1/3 of them will be left. Now that's a great devastation of Jews, isn't it? Now that scripture is in Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, if you want to read it in the Word of God. 2/3 of the Israelites are going to be killed. Only 1/3 will be left. And then Messiah will appear. And every eye shall see him, the Bible says. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is on the east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will cleave in the midst thereof. The Bible says they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. And one will ask him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Indicating that when Jesus Christ returns from heaven, that the marks of the crucifixion will be on his body. His body will still be scarred with the wounds of Calvary. They'll ask him about it. What are these wounds in your hands? And he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And again, God says, and so all Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. And they'll be restored to their land. Their land will be divided up into 12 parcels, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And one of Jesus' 12 apostles will sit on a throne ruling over the tribes. Each tribe has an apostle. And the headquarters of Jesus' kingdom will be in Jerusalem. And he will be their God, and they shall be his people. We owe an awful lot to these descendants of Abraham through Isaac. And Paul asks us in Galatians, or in Ephesians chapter 2, to remember something. And this is something that we need to call to mind every once in a while. He says, you remember that in time past, we were Gentiles in the flesh, without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We were Gentiles. But now, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Thank God for his grace. And it's through the Jewish people, through the seed of Abraham, that this world has received the blessings that it has. So the next time that you hear somebody running down the Jews, you remind them of our Jewish debt.